I hope this message would be a life-transforming moment for you guys.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, I used to be a businessman and used to be working for Samsung. Samsung America Inc. was where I am. It was in New Jersey, but before that in New York City. And, I traveled quite many countries while I was in business. One of them was Turkey. It was about 27 years ago. I went to their business trip and I found out it was a Bayram, what they call. Bayram is one of the, Islam, feast days like Ramadan and Bayram is too. So whole week, business was closed. So I was stuck at the hotel. What do you do there? So I and my friend decided to go for Holy Land traveling. This is, even Turkey is where it used to be Asia Minor. There are seven churches in Revelation. They are all located in the Turkey. So we called the travel company and arranged it. And we visited many cities. And we went to Ephesus and Cappadocia, all kind of, weird looking places. People were dug, actually, there's, the stone mountain, this rock is so soft. When they are, not exposed to the air, you could dig a hole with your hand, okay? It's exaggerating. So people live there, they make a house. And also, I stayed, not stayed night there, but I just stayed for a while at a very old, ancient, inn, little inn where these people used to stay. It was on the Silk Road. Silk Road is from China to all the way to Europe. It's a connecting road where all the silk was exported from China by merchant on the camelback or donkeyback, whatever, to the whole Europe. Then Europeans would bring their stuff to China. And also this is the road where Paul traveled to preach the Gospels all around the world at his time. Paul's life was something amazing. While I was standing in a place where maybe Paul stayed, there's no roof, it's just walls, okay? Here is animals and people just stayed there together. Okay, hay is here and you just lie down, spend the night. That's kind of inn, so Paul may have stayed. And while standing there, I was thinking about it. Paul, man, about 2,000 years ago, how he did manage? 30 years. Think about 30 years. Jesus was on the earth 30 years, right? What did he accomplish? What did he accomplish in 30 years, Jesus? What did he do for us? He died at the cross. That's the primary purpose, primary achievement for our own sins, so that anyone believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. That's what Jesus did. But what Jesus did was limited to a very small, land in Israel. And very few people believed him. Another person named Paul was the guy, actually, who took this gospel message to all world at that time, throughout the Roman Empire, visiting every city. Think about it. Whole Asia Minor. It's a huge, Turkey itself a huge thing. He may have traveled as much as maybe 50 or 60,000 miles at least. He had that ministry about 30 years. Then he was beheaded. Maybe about AD 62 after Nero's persecution. No. So that's what I'm talking about. The life of Jesus. He accomplished our salvation. He basically provided it, but for that salvation to become reality to all world, someone had to take the message to the end of the earth. That's what Paul did for the next 30 years. So Jesus and Paul, these two persons, made whole world change, particularly Paul. 30 years ministry, he turned the world upside down. You know, this is the word exactly used by those mobs in Ephesus when they were trying to kill Paul. This guy turned the whole world upside down. Maybe Paul was the most successful businessman in the whole world. Best business. He changed the world map. Everywhere we go, in Israel, or Europe, or Korea, there are many with the name, first name, Paul. Paul Kim. Paul Jung. I know many Pauls. Okay. Many churches with the Paul's name. When you go to Italy, yeah, Vatican City, City of Vatican. You know, there is a St. Peter's Cathedral is there because Peter was called the first Pope. But actually at the entrance there are two huge statues. One guy had a big key in his hand. The other guy had a big sword in his hand. Okay, who is the guy with the big key? Peter, because your name is Cephas, rock. On this rock, I'm going to build my own church. Okay. I'm giving you the keys to the gate of See? So, Peter got the keys, but Paul has a sword. What does sword mean? Yeah? Yeah. The word of God. Paul had the word of God. With the word of God, he changed the world. I was wondering, standing in that ancient inn, how this guy was able to do that? How? Not much different than you and I. You know, according to legend, Paul was a very little guy, okay? Not even as tall as me, and had a bald, all the way bald, okay, much bolder than you, and you have a lot of hairs, okay, and ugly looking. So you know, in the letter to Corinthians, people were condemning Paul. Well, Paul is strong and eloquent in his letters, but when he meet him, he wasn't that impressive at all. He must not be that eloquent either. Okay. But this man changed the whole world. Made gospel available to us, even now. I'm thinking about the reason. What's the key to his success in the life? What's the meaningful life? He lived a life worthy of his calling. How could he do that? I'm thinking about it. Then it dawned on me, especially the passage, what I'm going to read now. Listen to me. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, okay? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The key passage here, forgetting what is behind. This passage hit me really hard. Forgetting what is behind. According to my experience, I lived a little bit, you know, not too long, quite a long life. I have taught many students throughout my 15 years teaching career. And I have led many people, actually, even in taekwondo place. I raised many students of mine, many who failed. They failed because they always look back. Look back. Their sight is not to the front. They always look back. Can't focus on what they are doing. Because they are prisoners of their past. There are two types of prisoners. Okay, first one, they always dwell on their past success. Always dwell on it. Rather than thinking about something greater in the future. Always thinking about the past glory. That's one type of a prison. Another type is their past failures and miseries and suffering. They are locked in their past miseries. Can't get out of them. Unless people get out of this past prison, what they built actually by themselves, they cannot get out of it. You know, real act they are in. Your ego is locked in real compartment. And like act, folks, act never gonna become chicken unless they break out of that little shell. We tend to build this little axe around us. That's a prison. Paul did not dwell on his past glory, nor his past failure. As you know, Paul have seen many glorious moments throughout his ministries. He raised the dead man. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel to the end of the world. When he preached the gospel in the Ephesus, Book of Apostles said, whole Asia heard Paul. So successful. But he doesn't dwell on that past glory. He suffered a lot, folks. Paul, he gave that series of sufferings in his 2 Corinthians. Let me read it. Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. That means he was in danger everywhere he went. With everyone. I have labored and toiled, have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. When I read this, you know, it automatically reminded him about our homeless brothers. But Paul, actually, he chose to be homeless. For 30 years, he traveled all over the world with the real money in his hand. Yeah, he suffered much more than homeless guys in United States. But Paul didn't dwell on his suffering or failures. How he could do that? That is the question. Yes, we know we must get out of that little shell of our prison we built, that past glory or past failure. But it isn't easy. All right. Sometimes you sit, anything happen, little things happen, someone just speak ill of you, then all of a sudden you begin to dwell on your past failure, miseries. Always goes back. It isn't easy to get out of it. Sometimes we get out of it, we felt we got out of it, then we realize we are already back in there. How can you break this bad habit? Paul is giving us here the key. Next word, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you're going to break that habit, break loose from that past of prison, you must set the worthy goal in your future. You must set the worthy goal. People without their goal of life, for the year, for their life, they will look backward all the time. Can go ahead. Folks, tonight, I want to challenge you guys. Your last year or your past life may have been glorious or miserable. Okay? I was homeless for a while when I was young, so I know you sometimes how homeless people felt. But we must not dwell on our past, forgetting what is behind. To do that, we must have a worthy goal. I challenge you to think about at least one worthy goal you want to set for this year. And a long-term life goal. I want to achieve at least one thing in my life. One thing, not too many, okay? One thing. Like Reverend Na, preach the gospel to all homeless people in the United States, a whole world. One worthy goal. Share my love with my homeless brothers and sisters somehow. Set the goal. Could be a little thing. I'm going to learn Bible this year. I'm going to finish reading Bible at least once. Any goals, folks, set the goal. Focus on it. Straining toward that goal. That way, you will be out of your own prison of past. Then, as Paul has done in his life, you could become the agent of changing the world. It starts from little thing. Start from your own. I hope next year I meet you guys here. I want to see you guys' face look much better. Okay? And share something great, because you preached that day in January 2011. I have done this year. I was able to always look ahead, enjoy my life. Let us pray, folks. Thank you, Father, for giving us opportunity to share the attitude of Paul to my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, I know this is the key to his successful life. Lord, we want to get out of this little shell of our past, Lord, and set a worthy goal, and we can strain toward for this goal. Have a worthy life as you planned, Lord. I pray all this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, guys.